Welcome back for the third hour of Issues Etc. It's open lines. We had to talk about this sooner or later. This is something, I'll tell you, I'm not an emotional guy. I mean, no more emotional than the average guy. But it put a tinge of sadness, kind of the dark lining around the silver cloud of this weekend. The news, of course, about Rush Limbaugh. I've often said, and I'll say this many times, I would not have this job if it were not for the likes of Rush Limbaugh. He put talk radio back on the map. He made it a viable kind of a paying proposition. And I think virtually everyone, except for those who predated him with some success, virtually everyone in talk radio today, especially long format talk radio like this, probably owe their jobs, in at least in an indirect manner, to the success of Rush Limbaugh. I'm a big fan. I have listened to him literally since probably late fall 1989. And I think that was when he first syndicated nationally, if I'm not mistaken. So for 15 years, give or take. The news about the possibility that he might be buying massive quantities, not just a pill here or there, but massive quantities of prescription painkillers through the black market, deeply saddened me. I heard it. I didn't know whether it was true or a rumor. Later in the day, this was Thursday, I believe. No, this was probably Wednesday last week. The news started to filter in to the newspapers and radio and television. I was more disappointed, to be quite honest with you, when I listened to Rush on Friday, expecting certainly he must address this in some direct way. I was more disappointed to hear how he addressed the issue of the possibility that he might be buying drugs, prescription drugs, on the black market through a drug ring in Florida. I have a statement that was posted on his website. I want to share it with you in a minute here, but first I've got some questions. If this is true, and I want your answers to these questions, I know a lot of us listen to Rush Limbaugh on a regular basis. If these allegations about purchasing and possessing large quantities of prescription drugs illegally are true, has Rush lost moral authority in your eyes? I'll be the first to admit that he possessed and maybe still possesses quite a bit of moral authority for many of his listeners. Not so much because of his personal moral integrity, but because this is how I put it to my producer when the news broke. I said, here is someone who has built a career on integrity, on the truth, on telling the truth and being truthful. And we both wondered out loud whether or not that's being squandered before our very eyes. Remember when the Roman Catholic Church, this was in February 2002, the Roman Catholic Church had their sexual abuse scandal hit the newspapers? It blew bigger than anyone ever imagined it could. It still burns today. At first, people were saying, well, you know, this isn't going to necessarily diminish the moral authority of the Roman Catholic Church, in particular the bishops. But by now, everyone is saying, yes, obviously, the bishops in the Roman Catholic Church have had their moral authority diminished. Just today, Archbishop Justin Regali, soon to be Cardinal Justin Regali, leaves St. Louis. Farewell. He is asked one last time to meet with representatives of SNAP, survivors of abuse by the clergy, and he refuses. They say he's been avoiding them for the last 15 years. So we say the moral authority is diminished. When Bill Bennett, author of the Book of Virtues, is discovered to have a, what most of us would probably call a serious gambling problem, but to him, he says, well, you know, this isn't things I could afford to lose this much. There is some lessening of the moral authority there. The next time I saw Bill Bennett on one of the Talking Head shows, the first thing I thought to myself was, man, this guy lost $800,000 gambling, if not more. If these allegations are true about Rush Limbaugh and the drug problem, has he lost moral authority in your eyes? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. What do you make of how he's handled this question? Friday, he talked about it obliquely on the program. I have that statement here. And then today again, almost equally obliquely, he seems to be saying either he is unwilling or unable to speak openly and answer questions about this for legal reasons. Do you think he's being, as many have alleged, Clinton-esque, deflecting the issue of Yes or no, did you buy the drugs? Do you have a drug problem? To, well, you know, I can't speak until I have the whole situation in hand. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If this is true, will you be less likely to listen to Rush Limbaugh? If this is true, he loses sponsors, perhaps, or affiliates. Will this be a setback for Christianity in America? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I'd like your answers to those questions. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I don't know where the story started. I think it was the National Enquirer and the New York Daily News. It made it to the Drudge Report. And then, of course, nationwide, Fox News carried it. Everyone now has carried the story. I read in part this from New York Daily News. Talk radio titan Rush Limbaugh is being investigated for allegedly buying thousands of addictive painkillers from the black market drug ring in Florida. Wilma Klein, 42, former housekeeper, says that Limbaugh was hooked on the potent prescription drugs OxyContin, Lorset, and Hydrocodone, and he's been through detox twice. She recounts how she was approached to buy drugs for Mr. Limbaugh. She says that she actually has recorded conversations. She has emails from the talk show host and a ledger documenting how many pills she claims to have bought him. 4,350 pills in one 47-day period. That's a lot of pills. That's more pills than any one man can take in a 47-day period, if you do the math there. We're talking about 100 pills a day. So that's a lot of pills. Now, before I get to the phones, so you can answer intelligently, here's the statement that came out Friday. This appears on his website. I read it in part. This is a transcript of what Rush had to say about this incident Friday when he came back to the air. The Florida story is, and I'm reading from the transcript, the Florida story is, it really is an emerging situation. I watch what's being reported on television, and it changes from morning to morning, hour to hour, day to day. I don't know yet what I'm dealing with here, folks. I don't really know the full scope of what I'm dealing with. And when I get all the facts, when I get all the details of this, rest assured that I will discuss this with you and tell you how it is, tell you everything there is, maybe more than you want to know about this. You can believe me, he said, and trust me on that. I don't want to answer any questions about it now, as I say, until I know exactly what I'm dealing with, and at that point I will fill you all in. He goes on a little later to say, I'm a little frustrated that I haven't yet gotten to the bottom of what this is all about. And I'm very desirous of telling you about this, but until I know exactly what it is, and I don't get, it makes no sense to start delving into it. Finally, Rush says, I don't want to deal with hypotheticals. Now, just a second here, folks. By this time, I'm listening, and I'm saying to myself, oh, good night. All I want to know is, are you addicted to painkillers? The news is that you are not being investigated, Rush, that they're investigating the drug ring. You're named as a purchaser. And, of course, they probably could investigate you, and maybe they will, but that is immaterial to the question that I need to know the answer to as your listener and your fan. Are you addicted to drugs? And at this point, I'm thinking, I can't believe that Rush, who has made in part a career of pointing out these kinds of evasions on the part of public officials for 15 years, and rightly so, is engaging in it himself. For whatever reason. The transcript goes on. I don't want to deal with hypotheticals. I don't want to respond what's in the press. I'm very tempted to, but I'm not even going to go there. But I want to say, trust me. But don't, look, it makes no sense for me to go there. I'm not even going to tell you how you ought to look at the stuff that's in the press. I'm not even going to characterize it yet. Just trust me on this. When I find out about all of this, aside from those who are closest to me in my personal and business orb, and you are all very close on the personal orb, then you are going to be among the first to know from me. That was his statement. I was standing in my kitchen, dish rag in hand. I had tuned in. Friday is my day off. I like to do my own thing on Friday. I had tuned in especially to hear the answer to the question, are you addicted to prescription drugs? I didn't get an answer to that question. I just got, well, I don't know all the facts, and when I know all the facts, I'll let you know. I listened today again, and essentially it was repeated the same thing. Because of the possible legal ramifications, I'm not going to say anything. If these allegations are true, do you think Rush Limbaugh has lost his moral authority in your eyes? What do you make of the way he's handling the question? Is he deflecting the obvious question that he should be answering, regardless of the legal implications? If it's true, would you be less likely to listen to him if he actually, if this diminishes his scope, his sponsors, his affiliates? Would it be a setback for Christianity? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We've got people waiting on the line. Thank you for being patient. Mary is up first, calling from her car. Mary, welcome to Issues Etc. Hi, Mary.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, I feel like his big mouth got him in trouble to begin with by what he said. You know, that's what started all of this. And, I mean, I have listened to him off and on myself. But when I heard this about the drugs, that did it with me. I'd never listen to him again.
Now, just so we don't mischaracterize the situation here, what do you mean by his big mouth getting him in trouble in the first place?
Well, you know, on the ESPN show.
Yeah.
About the quarterback. I mean, I think, yes, he was put on there to create conversation or whatever. But I don't think that he should have said that. I really don't.
All right, Mary, thank you for the call. The two are, I want to keep this separate, okay? I know the ESPN story is a story, but the two are separate. The ESPN story didn't lead to the allegations. This is an ongoing drug investigation that's been going on for at least 2 years in Florida, a story that greatly predates the involvement at ESPN or anything like that. So let's keep those issues separate. Miles is up next. He's calling from his car. Miles, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi. I wish I could write as I'm speaking here, but I normally would do that to keep these things separate. But I think the three issues are, what does this do to Rush's credibility? What does it do to Christianity? And what's the third one?
Well, the other one was, I guess, would you be less likely to listen to him? But you got
all
a
right.
couple. The first two questions are, you know, if these are true, does it diminish his moral authority? What does it do to his credibility? And what do you make of how he's handling the question?
Okay. All right. That was the third one. Let me take that one first. If there's any chance that he's under investigation, he would be insane to say anything right now. I know that you're frustrated. You want to hear him tell all, but he would be out of his mind because...
No, I don't want to hear him tell all, Miles, but
okay.
if he's not addicted to painkillers, if this is just something the Inquirer has literally made up out of whole cloth, he can say that even if he's under investigation.
Okay. Let me ask you, do you think that he will tell you enough to satisfy that question that you have?
How do you mean?
I know it's your show, so I want to ask you the questions. Let me just put it this way. I'm totally confident that he's going to tell his audience a lot of stuff, okay? And he has two reasons for not telling. One is the legal angle, and the other is we don't really know why. It could be that it's so false that he's laying a trap, okay? That's possible. Don't discount that.
I think that's a stretch, Miles. Let me ask you this way. Let me ask
sure.
you this, Miles.
I want to address two other points, though.
That's fine. Couldn't President Clinton have said the same thing about a grand jury investigation or a special counsel?
Yeah.
He said, look, as long as I'm being investigated,
sure.
I'd be an idiot to admit to anything.
Well, I think to some extent that's true. But, you know, the whole issue of Clinton versus Limbaugh, I think there's so much that's right on the face of that makes them so different. One, their office, and two, the character and things that they've done are radically different. Three, they're both sinners and liars at times. Clinton lied a huge amount. Rush Limbaugh lies probably less. So, you know, I think if Rush Limbaugh is a moral authority, then there's some problems. But let me just say this. What Rush is about, to my mind, is are the things that he's saying true, okay? And I don't think he's ever said he wasn't a drug addict. So I think his authority as a dialectician or whatever you want to call him is still, it isn't going to go away. You can tell that his entire demeanor has not changed at all, which is pretty amazing. Okay?
Do you think he can speak with moral authority on the – and he has spoken on this subject before on the war on drugs.
Right. I think that if he tells his audience substantial truth about whatever it is that has happened or not happened, that his authority in some people's minds will be diminished, but it won't be substantially destroyed. Okay?
All right, Miles. One more comment, then I got to let you go.
Right. Does it hurt Christianity? For one thing, I've listened for a long time to hear Rush say whether he's a Christian. You know, I think he's brought up as a Methodist. But one time within the last year, and it was so notable that I wrote myself an email, how I keep notes, he identified, we Christians. So very rarely has he done this. But can it impact Christianity? Obviously, in one sense, no. In another, to the extent that he has probably in his own mind erred and said he's a Christian, then it's not good.
Miles, thank you very much for the call. So Miles says, look, it's just an issue of whether he's telling the truth here, and he's never said he wasn't a drug addict. So for him to remain silent at this point when his listeners are waiting for the answer to that question wouldn't necessarily diminish his moral authority. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, look, this is not about me being personally satisfied and wanting to hear all. I'm approaching this just as the rest of the fans and the listeners approach it. I'm just saying the only question I need answered as a fan, and he owes me nothing. I'm not saying he owes me the answer. I'm just saying one would expect that, and he's got to know that the question is being raised, are you addicted to prescription drugs? That's a question that probably should be answered. And a question that I think he probably could answer, even if he's being investigated. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Pat is on the line calling from his car. Hi, Pat.
Hello. First thing I'd like to say is normally I don't trust the media. So can you hear me?
I sure can.
So that's the first thing. I don't trust the media, and normally I do trust Rush Limbaugh on most things, a natural trust towards Rush. And with the little information we're getting, it's all coming from the media and from Rush, but I trust that Rush will come out on top, and I like that last caller's theory. It might be a trap to set up something for the media to nail him on. I like that theory.
Now, you said you trust that he will come out on top. Are you saying you trust that he will say, look, I'm not a drug addict. They made it all up. I don't take OxyContin. I never touch the stuff. And then he'll be able to claim victory over the media once again, as he has many times legitimately in his career. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. And I really think most people who listen to Rush hope that deep down. They really hope that he's going to come out clean and smear the media. Now, he is a person, and people do stumble. He might be addicted to drugs. It'll hurt, but I won't stop listening to him. But it will hurt, and probably hurt his ratings, maybe. I'm not sure.
Oh, I don't know about that, but I think it has to do more with the sponsors. Thank you very much, Pat. Okay, now, let me point out here that the people who are one of the first persons to break this story nationally was Matt Drudge, one of the primary sources that Rush Limbaugh himself uses for information. Fox News, Fair Balanced, You Decide, they're running the story, too. And believe me, everyone's credibility is on the line here when the source of the story originally is the National Enquirer. Everyone's credibility is on the line. No one wants to sign on to this story or carry this story if there's a possibility it might not be true. New York Daily News, of somewhat suspect kind of reputation in the press as well, but no one's going to pick up on this story. if they think it's just, well, you know, they're floating this story so that Rush can do the big double whammy and reverse-a-roo on the press one more time. They're going to want to know that it's true. They really are. They're looking out for themselves and their own credibility here, too. 505-7850-1800-730-2727. Quickly before this break, to Tony calling from his car. Hi, Tony.
Hi. I am a Rush fan, even though probably what I'm going to say is going to make me sound like an enemy. But the thing that will bug me the most about this, if it turns out to be true, is if he actually works out some deal to avoid prosecution. And I know that it makes perfect sense to do that when you're accused of a crime. But I think back of over the years of how Rush has spoken of his own reverence for the law and its strict enforcement. I even remember him actually advocating the sending to prison of the young person who went afoul of the California three strikes and you're out law a few years ago. His third strike was he stole a pizza, I think. You know, Rush said, well, you know, you go to prison when you steal a pizza if it's the third time. And some of the other things he's advocated, I mean, for example, he criticized people who use even prescription antidepressants and things like that for not being able to deal with the ordinary circumstances of life and things. You know, I mean, I think he's got a lot of egg on his face. I think he's going to want mercy under the law if he's guilty. And he also basically is exposing a lot of ordinary weaknesses that many people have that he's kind of poked fun of over the years.
And you say this as a fan, though, Tony, to make it clear, right?
To make it clear, I am a fan. I listened to him the first time on Election Day 1992. I'm basically a conservative Republican. I'm pro-life.
Tony, thank you for the call. Well, what do the rest of you think? Again, you know, the more I think about this, the more I talk about it, the sadder it makes me feel, especially when those kind of possibilities are raised. Romaine is calling from his car. Romaine, thank you for waiting. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello, Todd. I was just turned on the radio, and you were talking about Rush Limbaugh here. First of all, why do you have to consider him in light of Christianity? I've listened to him a number of times, and he doesn't sound like a Christian to me. His vernacular is very bad. His sexual innuendos are pretty much not Christian-like. I don't see anything Christian about Rush Limbaugh here. He shouldn't even be a Christian subject. Of course, he speaks a lot of things about the Christian right beliefs, but that doesn't really make him a Christian. And he, you know, I think it's crazy.
Romaine, thank you very much. It's a good question to raise, and I have an answer for it. Now, I could say I need to know where all the facts are before I answer that question. I need to figure out what the situation is before I, and when I know what the situation is, I'll make you apprised of it. We did an hour of open lines once on Rush Limbaugh. Does listening to Rush Limbaugh cause you to break the Eighth Commandment, to put the worst construction on things? It turned into a 6-hour open lines running over the entire week on this one subject, and I'm only going from personal experience sitting on this side of the microphone. The number of listeners who considered it an attack on the fabric of Christianity to question whether Rush Limbaugh was good for the Christian cause. People calling saying, you can't silence us. You will not silence us. And they're doing it in the name of Christianity. That's why I ask the question. We'll be right back.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Listening to Issues, Etc.
We usually think of the Reformation teachings of Martin Luther as radically Christ-centered, but they were more than that. They were cross-centered. Luther's theology is even called a theology of the cross. What is this theology? Our new Issues, Etc. book of the month for October is called Lift High This Cross, The Theology of Martin Luther. You can order Lift High This Cross online. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click on the What's New section, and you'll find information about the book. Or call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. When you call or write, mention Issues, Etc. It's the Issues, Etc. book of the month for October, Lift High This Cross, The Theology of Martin Luther. 1-800-325-3040.
Creation versus evolution. The battle's about history. Answers with Ken Ham author of the fascinating book, The Dinosaurs of Eden. Well, Ken, I thought the controversy over creation and evolution was over facts and science. Now you're saying it's really about history.
Well, I may surprise you when I say creationists and evolutionists have the same facts and the same science. You see, we all live in the same world, right now, in the present. The battle ultimately is not about science or facts, but about how you interpret the science and facts here in the present. Creationists and evolutionists, of course, have different beliefs about the history of the past, and those beliefs determine how they interpret the evidence of the present. This means the real battle is over which view of history is true, the Genesis account or millions of years. Using real science in the present, you can easily show from geology, biology, anthropology, and so on, that the Genesis account of history enables a person to correctly understand our present world. Noah's flood makes sense of fossils. The Tower of Babel makes sense of all the people groups. The creation of distinct kinds of animals and plants makes sense of what's observed today with the animals and plants we see. Yes, the Bible's history is true, and it's confirmed by real science.
Is it possible that real science also shows that our Earth is young, not millions or billions of years old? Read Ken Ham's free booklet when you go to AnswersRadio.com. AnswersRadio.com.
More Open Lines follows this short break on Issues Etc. right here on AM 850 KFUO. Weather for St. Louis, overnight partly cloudy skies, low of about 57 for Tuesday, mostly sunny, and a high near 81. Right now in St. Louis, it's partly cloudy and 77. Another look at St. Louis traffic. Northbound 270 at Dorset Road, slow traffic in the right lanes exiting on 270. Southbound 270 between Clayton Road and Doherty Ferry, there's some slow traffic there. Southbound 170 between the Galleria Parkway and 40, slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 270 between Lindbergh and Graham Hanley, some slow traffic. Also westbound 40 between 270 and Mason, slow traffic in spots there. Taking a look at the bridges, eastbound 40 between Jefferson and the Poplar Street Bridge, slow traffic. And northbound 55 between Park Avenue and the Poplar Street Bridge, slow traffic in the right lane.
On the next Focus on the Family.
That was my first step. Not only in saving my marriage, but the very first step I took in what became a long three-year course of coming to know my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Colonel Oliver North shares with Dr. James Dobson about the new direction his life took and how it changed his family, marriage, and military career. Next time on Focus on the Family.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Open Lines. Folks, we have a new Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. October is barely upon us, and I feel like I haven't talked enough about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. It's called Lift High This Cross, The Theology of Martin Luther. It's by the late Eugene Klug. This book walks through not only the life of the Reformer as a Reformer, but through the writings of Martin Luther, full of chock full of quotations dealing with the major issues of the Reformation through the writings of Luther and the other Reformers. This is the kind of book that is a primer for of the Reformation, of Luther's thought and theology. All Issues Etc. fans need this book. It's called Lift High This Cross, The Theology of Martin Luther. It's our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. You can order the book, Lift High This Cross, by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Call during regular business hours. Ask for the book, Lift High This Cross. Make sure you mention Issues Etc. Or you can go online to our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section, and you'll find information on Lift High This Cross. 1-800-325-3040. It's open lines. If you were getting a busy signal before, feel free to give us a call now. We have open lines, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. The questions I've laid on the table, many of you have been responding. Rush Limbaugh and the possibility of an addiction to prescription drugs, the possibility of buying large quantities of these prescription drugs through the black market, through a drug ring down in Florida. When I first heard it, I thought, it can't be. It simply cannot be. That story is too outlandish to be true. And to tell you the truth, all the way up until, say, Friday morning, I thought to myself, this is just simply the National Enquirer doing what the National Enquirer does. President Bush meets with space aliens, you know, stories about celebrities and compromising situations. And Russia's no different. He's a celebrity of the first magnitude. That's what I thought, and that's where I was hoping it would be. But when I listened Friday to Rush Limbaugh, hoping to hear him say, there's nothing to this, the allegations are false, there you go again, he didn't say that. In fact, he didn't say very much of anything that was clear about this, except that he was looking into it, and when he found out what it was all about, he would bring all the details to us. Now, if this is true, and it raised some doubts in my mind, if this is true, then do you think Russia's moral authority is diminished in your eyes? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. What do you make of how he's handling this? Not coming out with any clear statement on it. The question, as I said before, that I think most of the listeners have is, are you addicted to prescription drugs? Whether you're being investigated, whether you bought it, whether those are all peripheral to the main question, are you addicted to prescription drugs? It goes unanswered, that question. How do you assess how he's handling this question? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Today, on his program, at the very opening of the program, he responded to people who were saying he was being, quote-unquote, Clinton-esque in his responses, and he said, not at all, not at all. I'm just waiting to find out what the legal situation is. And I ask, if you're not addicted to prescription drugs, there should really be no legal reason that you can't say, I'm not addicted to prescription drugs. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If it is true, and I must say, I sincerely hope that it isn't. I agree with the callers in the last hour. I sincerely hope that this is not true. If it is, would you be less likely to listen to Rush? If he loses affiliates on account of this, will it be a setback for Christianity? Romaine asked the question before the break, and I responded in part. The reason I raised the issue of Christianity is because that is the issue that has been raised when we've talked about Rush before on this program by listeners themselves. Who, although, yes, Rush makes no public profession of faith beyond the most general thing. Sometimes he'll refer to himself as among Christians. While that is true, many of his listeners associate him directly with what I will call loosely the Christian cause. And when we've talked about him before, especially if in answer to the question of whether or not listening to him stirs up the old Adam in us, people have been very adamant that essentially to attack or to question Rush Limbaugh is to question a figure that is important to American Christianity. What do you think? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Dean is calling from his car. Dean, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hello.
Hi, Dean.
I'm not going to quit listening to Rush, but I'm just going to patiently wait until I hear what he's got to say about it. I'm not going to speculate on anything right now.
What do you make of how he's handling this question? He's been accused of kind of deflecting attention from the real question, which is, are you addicted to prescription drugs, to kind of, I can't talk about it because there might be legal ramifications. What do you make of that, Dean?
Well, if he said he is addicted or if he's been taking them or anything, that opens him up to a wide door to just accusations like you wouldn't believe.
But if you know, this is a man who has built his career and his reputation, a stellar career and a stellar reputation, on the truth, does he have something to fear from the truth? Or does it appear to you that he's acting that way?
I don't think he has anything to fear from the truth. I don't think he's hiding the truth. I think he's just waiting until he finds out all the facts. Because Rush don't come out and just start rattling off at the jaws about anything that he doesn't know about or that he can't talk about.
But even if, let's say he is, now he's not being investigated. In fact, the sheriff's department in the county down there in Florida says, look, there are no imminent charges against Mr. Limbaugh. He was just named as a buyer. And they're not planning on investigating him or doing anything like that. Now, even if there were charges pending against him, if he's not addicted to the drugs, couldn't he at least say that? I mean, that wouldn't harm him in any way, it would appear, to say, look, I'm not addicted to drugs. They're investigating me, but I'm not addicted.
Well, that is a good question. But like I said, I'm going to wait till Rush says what he's got to say about it. Because he can't just go saying anything without, you know how the media is. They'll blow it all out of proportion anyway.
Well, do you think it's a setback for Christianity if, against your hopes, it turns out to be true and this diminishes his career, his influence, and his voice? Is it a setback for Christianity, Dean?
I don't think it would be a setback in Christianity. I mean, how can you base your faith on man?
Dean,
I put my faith in Christ.
Dean, thank you very much for the call. Good answer, by the way, to that last question. Excellent answer to that last question. Let's go to Bill, who's calling from his car. Hi, Bill. Welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello. I don't listen to Rush as much as I used to, simply, well, for whatever, but I don't. But anyhow, I did hear him for a little bit today, and his tone of voice, at least I perceived, it was somewhat different, somewhat meeker. I don't know if that's an indication of anything. It's just an observation. But in answer to your question, does listening to Rush rile up the old Adam in us? Well, I confess, for me, yes, it does.
Well, that's the old question, Bill. The question, and that one's we've dealt with. The question I have to do is whether or not if these allegations are true, whether or not Rush has lost moral authority in your eyes.
Well, I would say yes, he's lost moral authority. My observation on that would be if we find ourselves terribly disappointed, then maybe we're too far stuck into the kingdom of the left.
Bill, thank you very much. You know, I've got an answer to that first question. Does he lose moral authority in my eyes? But I'm not going to share it with you now. I'm going to wait until I have all the information. No, I'll wait until the end of the hour. 505-750-1800-730-2727. Ray is calling from his car. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Todd. A couple things. I guess I never see Rush as a moral authority. I've never looked to him as that. He's good at what he does from a political perspective. And I guess the question I have for you, seeing how you're in radio, do you think you need to respond to every accusation that would come against you?
No, I don't think so, but this is not just any old accusation. I mean, I think you would...
Why would you need to separate any old from any?
Well, I think that when you're being accused of a crime and actually being addicted to prescription drugs, if it's not true, you can say it's not true, can't you?
You sure could, but from the conversation I've heard, I got the feeling that he's obligated to respond.
What do you mean?
In that you have an unanswered question.
No, I said very clearly, Ray, Rush Limbaugh owes none of us anything by way of an answer. The only question is, if he is not addicted, he certainly can say that without risking anything legally, financially, period. He could certainly say that, right?
And when he doesn't, I don't relate that to his moral authority.
All right. Thank you. You've answered the question, Ray. No, he doesn't have to respond to each and every allegation. And in fact, he's shown he hasn't. In fact, if he hadn't said a word on Friday about this, I think I would be thinking differently about this than the answer that he did give, which was, I kind of have to get all the information before I can tell you what's going on. Well, okay, if you're addicted to drugs, you know what's going on. You don't have to consult with anybody to find out what's going on. If there's a pending investigation against you, fine. Your lawyers are going to be very careful that you don't say anything, so don't say anything. Right? If you're not addicted, you lose nothing, and your lawyers probably would want you to say, I'm not addicted. Roger's calling from his car. Roger, welcome. Thank you for waiting.
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, I don't know who really looks to Rush for moral authority. I certainly don't. I think of him more as an entertainer than anything else. And I kind of agree with you. He seems like he's hiding something if he doesn't come out and say, I'm not taking any drugs. The man can make that statement. He doesn't need a lawyer to tell him that. And as opposed to anybody in authority not ever sinning, that's never going to happen either. So there's a lot of questions there. I mean, look at the Lutheran minister out here who was caught stealing drugs from the elderly. He's now doing whatever they have him doing for that crime. I mean, does that make him less of a Christian? No, that makes him just another sinner like the rest of us.
Roger, thank you for those thoughts. Thank you very much. In fact, it's the same drug. The same drug in the case of that minister who's stealing from his parishioners. Thomas is up next, calling from his car. Thomas, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, how you doing?
What's your question, Tom?
Yeah, I just want to comment about it. I think if you Rush, if you recognize, that he did it, but he left everything behind, asked for forgiveness, and for me, I think he will be a setback, but still we be able to listen to him because he's an outspoken voice for what I believe, as a Christian on abortion, on gay rights and all that. And I think the mainstream media is going to try to use this and to destroy his reputation and... even if he did it, it's bad, but, if he changed and tried to do the different,
Thank you for the call. The connection is kind of bad. It's difficult to understand. Now, a couple things. He mentioned abortion and gay rights. I haven't heard Rush talk about abortion in years. Now, I don't listen every day, but I haven't heard him talk about it in years, okay? So I don't know if that's a... He also mentioned the fact that the media would use this to destroy his reputation. That's obvious. Yes, of course. Of course. That has been his plight as the top of the heap for all the years he's been the top of the heap, especially with his viewpoints. There have always been opportunities, and I think a large sector of the media have taken every opportunity, and even some that didn't present themselves, to try and destroy his reputation. That's why it makes it really kind of all the... I'm approaching this as a listener and a fan. That's why it makes it all the more important after all the accusations that have been made in order to impugn his reputation, his truthfulness. People just say he's a liar. You remember the book, Rush Limbaugh is a Big Fat Liar? I didn't agree with the title of that because I didn't believe he was a liar. That's why it's all the more important that if the question is raised here, that we get a straight answer. Don't you think? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Andy is calling from Kirkwood. Hi, Andy. Welcome.
How you doing? The fact that one listens to Rush Limbaugh, of course, would not necessarily mean that one agrees with him. I have heard him from time to time, and I find him very much like Garner Ted Armstrong, who used to be on back in the 60s. He's fascinating to listen to, but you don't necessarily want to take his gospel, everything that he says. You asked whether his public support would dwindle because of this, and I don't think it will. In this day and age when celebrities have a scandal, they just gain attention rather than losing it, and his diehard fans are very much involved in it. I think one of your previous callers hit the nail on the head when he asked, who are you going to trust? And that brings up the issue of idolatry. Are you going to trust any one man, and particularly any one individual who is involved in political discussion, more than you do the Christian faith? And that's pretty much my take on Rush. I would like to make one comment on the California recall that you were discussing previously.
Sure,
Andy. I'm looking forward to Wednesday when the petition drive to recall the new governor officially begins.
You mean the recall of the one who got in after the recall?
Of course.
I got to know, why are you looking forward to it?
Well, the game has to go on, doesn't it?
In this day and age, it certainly appears that it does. You know, I came to the end of last week thinking to myself, this was the weirdest week ever. This was the weirdest week ever. We had stories about Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, in terms of news, it was just like the headlines had been pulled from news of the bizarre, news of the unexpected. And one of the biggest stories there was this whole addiction question, this whole question of buying massive quantities of prescription drugs illegally, and Rush Limbaugh. We've got time for a few more calls here before we go. Lynn is calling from St. Louis. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm well.
I just wanted to call. I may be in the minority of your callers, but I'm not a huge fan of his. I actually think he's been kind of, while entertaining, and I sometimes agree with him, kind of brash. And I don't actually consider, I've never really looked at him as a moral authority. I kind of view him not either as a spokesperson for Christianity, but a very good spokesperson for someone with politically conservative ideas. But I'm actually really disappointed that he hasn't just come forward and say, look, you know, I'm an addict. That I'm an addict, and I'm not going to comment on any kind of ongoing investigation. It would have just let everything, all the questions go by the wayside. He would have been able to claim some sort of moral authority in that he's always been kind of critical of Clinton. I think it was the example you had used and others. And if he would even do that now, I would actually, my respect for him would actually go up tremendously.
Lynn, thank you very much for the call. You know, he has, if you listen long enough to Rush, you've maybe heard him say when he comes back from a break, he'll say something like, Rush Limbaugh, a man that you can and would trust with your teenage daughter or your wife or your small children overnight in a house alone. You know, he's made an issue of trust. Now, if you knew someone was addicted to prescription drugs and they said, you can trust me with your I know he's using rhetoric, but he even said, you could trust me with your teenage daughter, your wife, or your children in a house alone, and you knew they were addicted to OxyContin or some other prescription drugs, and they were buying them through nefarious means, you might question that claim. Even if it's made as a bit of rhetoric, you might question that claim. Marie is on the line from Alhambra. Marie, welcome to Issues, et cetera, and thank you for waiting.
Thank you. I'm not a big fan of Rush myself. I do have listened to him from time to time, and I do think some of his ideas can be stimulating. However, it seems like people, they are just blinded by his rhetoric, and it always reminds me of what kind of counsel are you seeking? People don't want to read the paper or dive into the issues. They want a soundbite that is stimulating, and they just line up, and they're blinded by this, and they don't want to focus on sometimes what's behind it. And I'm disappointed in this man because so many people, they look up to him, and by some of the callers, it's almost like an O.J. Simpson, you know. This is probably a truth, but I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it, regardless of what he's done. You know, the right is, we're a Republican. This is like, he is almost like a god, and regardless of what he does, it's perfectly fine.
Marie, thank you very much.
I don't understand that.
Marie, thank you. And certainly among a segment of the audience, that is true. I'm talking about his audience, not ours. I'm wondering why Thursday evening, when walking through U City with a friend on the way to a restaurant, I said to myself, I'm just sad. I mean, that was what was on my mind, the news about Rush Limbaugh and the drug addiction. I said to him, I'm just sad. Not depressed, but deeply saddens me. And I guess by that time I was assuming that it was true. The next day I was saddened further, as I've said before here. because what I wanted to hear probably most in that opening monologue was, folks, what you're reading in the papers is not true. Or what you're reading in the papers is true. And either of those probably would have lessened my sadness, but I didn't hear either of those. I saw an idol fall. That's why I was sad. I was sad for the same reason that some people are saying it doesn't make any difference. It just doesn't make any difference whether he tells the truth about this. A man who's made his career on telling it doesn't make any difference. What do we invest moral authority in? What do we invest our trust in? Isn't that the real issue here? Trust. He's saying, trust me, and I'll keep listening. I will. I saw an idol fall. One of my own idols, one of many, that until they fall, you don't know they're there. You don't know that you have actually put a measure of trust in them. Jesus is not a Republican. He's not a capitalist. He's not a conservative. He's not a liberal, for that matter, either. Jesus is our Savior from sin. I wonder why it pained me to see someone that I'll admit I trusted, at least to tell the truth. He may not always tell the truth in a coherent fashion or be entirely consistent, but I believed him to be telling the truth. I wonder, why did it pain me? I'll tell you why. Not only because I saw an idol fall, but because, like a mirror, like a big mirror, it showed me my own sin. That's why it hurts. Because in the sins of others and the foibles and mistakes and the huge, I mean, this is, if it's true, a big problem, we see our own. That's why Scripture constantly admonishes us not to trust in men. Not even one little bit, period. Not to trust in men, but only in the one who is trustworthy. Don't even trust me, because I am just as big a sinner as Rush Limbaugh. I'm not addicted to OxyContin. I can tell you that right now. But I'm just as big a sinner. Every bit as big. The only one we can trust is the one who has no sin and went sinlessly to the cross for all of us, you and me and Rush Limbaugh, Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.